Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Texans back at it. They had a night practice under the lights. And, you know, it's Texans football, so it's not garnering much attention here in the city. All we've got is Deshaun news. That's all we've got nationally is Deshaun news. What's going to happen with Deshaun? Every single list that is put out about talent on rosters, the Texans this morning, the one on ESPN was talent under 25 years old, and the Texans finished last. It's the oldest team in the NFL. It's the
least talented team in the NFL?
Least talented team in the NFL. Yes, it is the least talented team in the NFL. It's a bunch of mediocre players that Nick Caserio decided 1 year mediocre player, that's how we're going to go about this thing. We're not going to give any money to anyone spectacular. Not that it would have been easy to get. I mean, honestly, who's clamoring if you're a big name free agent
to come here?
I gotta get to Houston.
I don't think there are many. Now, we've seen this model work recently. And by work, I mean it was with a quick turnaround. We think with the Dolphins, but of course they had draft capital their own and what they acquired from the Texans and the Laremy Tunsil thing, and they've turned that into more picks that are still paying off the Laremy Tunsil stuff. They have a pick next year from that. So the Texans don't have that advantage until
the Texans, by the way.
It's a different trade that they made that move. But the Texans don't have the advantage of that until the Deshaun Watson trade happens, if it ever happens. Legal stuff. Still pending. So that'll be the jump start. This year, much like the Dolphins, I don't know if you're as bad as them where you're going to get beat 59-10 in a game. I think that happened in that season. But there will be some games where they don't even look like they should be out there sometimes just because of a lack of talent. Other times, those guys will probably fight. You have some competency with Lovie Smith, and even Tim Kelly last year proved that he's at least at minimum a competent OC. So I don't think they'll be badly coached like they might have been last year under Anthony Weaver. But it's just a team lacking talent, and you're just going to see it on a week-to-week basis, particularly when you see some of the more talented and the best teams come in here and play, or they go there depending on the setup. They're going to be woefully outmatched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, there's so much. There's been so much. So much to break down with this, you know, with whether or not Caserio was the right pick, whether or not Cully was the right pick, what is Jack Easterby's role, what decisions is Cal making, the everything about this whole thing. There's so much. It just seems like there's so much shade. There's so much shadowy. There's so much. How did you go about this decision making that you've had, and it all points back to Cal. But David Culley appeared to Saturday prove that David Culley, he's Mr. Positivity, right?
Correct.
Pat on the back. He's not going to pull a Joe Judge, making you run laps and do all kinds of things. But during the evening training camp scrimmage, Chris Conley was flagged for a false start. This time, Culley let him have it, pulled him off the field, and gave him an earful on a false start. Laremy Tunsil, watch yourself. I'm just telling you, watch yourself, because you are the king of false starts.
Well, maybe David Culley will side with Tunsil and go, it's not fair. He's being targeted. So maybe he will side with the player and go, the referees are noticing. Yeah, sure, you're moving a half a second for everyone else, but that's not a reason to call a penalty on you.
So apparently in Kansas City, Conley Cully pulled Conley out of the rotation a game after he had one too many drop passes.
So they have a history of him getting after Conley.
Yeah. So maybe because there is familiarity there.
Did he yell at Will he talk to Brandon Cooks that way?
Probably not. Pull him off the field for false start.
Yeah, I wonder.
But maybe he has higher hopes for Conley.
But maybe he's a guy who he backed.
Yes.
And why he got drafted in the first place.
Yeah, maybe
he
stood on the table for him.
Yeah, possibly.
He might have. And you know what? Then concentrate. He said, you know what? That's bad football, and we're not going to play bad football. You know what? I kind of like it. I didn't know that David Culley actually had this side to him.
No, I mean, he's been a coach for years, so you assume he's had to get in someone, but you didn't think that was why he was hired. You thought that he's the complete opposite of Bill O'Brien, so maybe he would be a little bit more moderate in his approach to things. But hey, he's still a football coach, and if that's his position, that is what he has been known for. The calling card for him, particularly in the NFL, has been coaching wide receivers. He coached the Bills quarterbacks for a couple seasons too, but at least with the Chiefs, he was their wide receiver coach for multiple years, four seasons. So that's his thing. So he's going to probably get on receivers more because that's what he knows.
Yep. I would imagine. And a guy that he's familiar with, too. But by all accounts, Tyrod Taylor looked pretty good. Tyrod Taylor is going to be – it's going to be interesting to see getting back into playing football because he really hasn't played much football for the last 4 years. So it's – or 3 years at least. He is – it'll be interesting to see what kind of – He looks obviously much better than anybody else out there. I think if we can, you know, when you see, oh, there's a completed pass. That was a nice pass. That was where it was supposed to be.
He's an NFL quarterback.
It's like a surprise. It's like a pleasant surprise.
He led a team to the playoffs. I mean, it was the Bills, and they went 9-7, I think. But he's been a playoff quarterback.
Yeah. Well, now don't forget that was a little while ago.
That's true. Sometimes you might lose it, but Tyrod Taylor is competent. What that means as far as this competent on this roster doesn't mean much because there's not a lot of competency around.
No, but it means a lot.
No, I mean as far as wins. Sure. He's being competent on this roster might mean you're an all pro compared relatively speaking. But as far as what it means to elevate in terms of wins, not much because of the talent. But he is a competent quarterback who's been around this league a long time, and I don't think. Look, when you're comparing him to the guy who was ahead before him, you're gonna see the clear differences. But I don't think you're going to get the worst quarterback play we've ever seen with the Texans with Tyrod Taylor. We've seen much worse.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, every single list that is so amazing. Where, okay, the most improved teams this offseason, ranking in 1 to 32. Where do you think the Texans finished?
32, John.
No, 30th.
What?
Well, improvement in the offseason.
Who was worse?
The New Orleans Saints.
Well, lost Drew Brees.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know about that, although they did. They lost Dupree, DeCastro, Villanueva. Okay. Pouncey. Man, their whole offensive line.
Which wasn't great last year. Now featuring. Maybe they'll catch a break and it's addition by subtraction, but they weren't good last year.
They lost James Conner, but they picked up Najee Harris.
Najee Harris, yeah.
They picked up Melvin Ingram, and they picked up some offensive line help. They think that they had the worst offseason. But I don't think this doesn't count losing Deshaun Watson. If you throw Deshaun Watson into the mix as far as key losses, I think the Texans would be finished 32nd.
Yeah, and, you know, he's oft injured and still injured after one practice, still hasn't come back. But Will Fuller is another guy, a talented guy, who's no longer here. Bernard McKinnon injured, and then you made a trade. So we'll see how Shaq Lawson does. But sure, the Texans, a lot of losses, and if you add Deshaun to the mix, I don't know how they wouldn't finish 32nd. But there's a team – those. Couple teams out there worse, apparently.
Mm-hmm. 913 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. When we come back, we really haven't touched too much, but this Needville Little League thing, as the Little League World Series is around the corner, really has a lot of people PO'd. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. is
The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, so last week, the Needville Little League team beat Arkansas 13-0 in the Southwest Regionals. And then they were sent home. They had a positive test. When retaken, it turned out that it was a false positive. A false positive. Both tests afterwards came up, two tests came up negative. So you had a false positive, and it sent this Little League team home. This Little League team was actually pretty damn good. It's actually a David. They're looking at themselves as like a David and Goliath kind of thing. There are little leagues that they were playing that were like 10 times the size, as many, 10 times as many, as big a population in these little leagues, or 10 times the number of players in the little league, or whatever the case may be. But they came out on top. They were perfect. They were undefeated, and they were on a roll, 13-0 over the Arkansas team, representing Arkansas in the little league. So that's pretty damn good. And yet they were sent home. Now, a bunch of people were none too happy about this. Here is what it says in the Little League Baseball or Softball Region Tournament signed this year. This is what it says in the agreement. I understand that our team may be removed from the tournament for, one, failure of any individual to comply with testing requirements, two, failure of any individual to comply with any COVID-19 mitigation measures implemented by Little League, or three, the inability to field a team for any scheduled game due to isolation and our quarantine requirements. Please note that also, as outlined in the Little League International Tournament rules and regulations in regards to the Little League International Tournament Committee, the committee also reserves the right to impose any penalty the committee deems appropriate. If the committee determines action is necessary to correct a situation brought to its attention, regardless of the source of the information, the decision of the tournament committee is final and binding. And every team had to sign this. Now, they did. Now, people work this thing now. Phil Stevenson, who's a Texas State Representative, Congressman Troy Nels, and Senator Lois Kolkhorst.
The one who took their shots at Texas?
Yeah, okay. She took a shot at the University of Texas for sure. They had a five-hour conversation along with the president of the Needville team, Texas Attorney General, with Little League. And after all of that, Little League still decided that this team would not advance, that this team was going home. It's wholly, wholly unfair. It sucks for this Little League team, especially since it was a false positive. And even if it wasn't, if that coach or whomever it was tested positive, and I believe it was a coach.
Correct.
And nobody else had contracted it, I don't know, you could have had your wait period and all of that stuff, I guess. I'm not, obviously there is that, the incubation period. But if it's a false positive and you can right a wrong, it just seems like you would be, it's just so unfair to those kids. So unfair that they had to go home when they were so good. And apparently on their way to what could be something great.
So many times when things like this happen, it's always about the rule and never taking into account the people that it'll affect. And now you get the statement where they're talking about safety. But you know what? If this coach was a positive test, okay, you have a rule. I get it. But this is a false positive. Two negative tests since we know false positives exist. Why are we punishing not just the kids, an entire community who's backing these kids, parents, just people who live in the community. You see some of the joy on their faces watching the team. You see some of the highlights. That's the community behind these kids. And you're like, you know what? It's a rule that really doesn't affect you because it turns out the testing was off, but we're still going to punish you. And they're not going to call it a punishment. That's what it is. I mean, how do the kids feel? We had an opportunity to do something great. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to take it away from you because we have a rule in place that's actually not fitting for this occasion. And they're not. And look, it's always about the rule, not the people. I mean, we know the NCAA has the same issues, and that's why they're almost a defunct organization now because they never take into account the people that it affects, just that they have a rule. And even if the rule is antiquated or can be, it can be, you know, found out if the rule wasn't even really broken, they still stick with it because the rules are the rules. This is another occasion of that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it wasn't, there's nothing fair about it. It does. It seems like an NCAA rule. The all of these sports governing bodies, I just don't have
no flexibility. Some,
it just seems like there's no common sense.
Yeah,
seems like there's just no common sense. So, it sucks for Needville. But that's the ruling. Those kids, and our, you know, prayers sideways to little Jared Tucker, Caleb, and Dakota. I'm not going to the Little League World Series. Cheer up, kids. All right. Yeah, all right. If you played in the league and you just beat Arkansas 13-0, and they just said go home after that, you know what you'd be? Look at me, it's not fair. It's not fair to me.
I think he hears the word Needville and thinks, ah. Well, take an L, Whitey. I think that's what he thinks.
Why?
This is what Art's thing is, though. I don't know the breakdown. The kids, I mean, from what I saw, it's a predominantly white community, and when Art sees that, he's like, whatever. Take that L. That's what he does.
So one guy wrote, his congressman, man, with all these illegal immigrants coming in,
wait,
here
what?
Not having to, yeah.
What,
I was like, wait.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, they're not getting tested.
Are they playing in the tournament?
Yeah.
No.
My friend.
I was like, I'm not sure about this. Needville. I'm really not sure that.
Was he excited about
bringing
the team?
illegal immigrants into the conversation.
We were going to have a watch party at my house.
That's a lie.
He was like, we got to watch Needville.
Your friend.
Needville baseball team.
Your friend didn't say that.
My friend Cody Cruz is a big.
Cody Cruz again?
Yeah, he's a big Needville baseball fan.
What's the story about Cody Cruz? And you tell us his dad was in.
Who's Cody Cruz?
Cody Cruz's uncle owns Pete's Fine Meats.
Oh.
Didn't you tell us a story about one of your buddy's dads being in jail or who?
No, that was not Cody Cruz.
Okay.
Cody Cruz's dad is still out and about. Why not wearing a shirt?
Oh, he hasn't been incarcerated
no,
yet?
No. Cody Cruz
he's
is
still
dad
free?
Is a good man.
Why do you keep saying Cody Cruz?
Because that's his name.
Why don't you just call him Cody?
Because that's his name.
My friend Cody.
Michael Cruz's nephew?
Yeah.
Nice.
There's the connection.
You don't go. My friend Chad, and then I don't even know Chad's last name. You don't just go Chad's full name.
Who's Chad?
It's one of his boys.
That's Chad Clay.
Yeah, but yeah. You don't go my Chad Clay.
When I tell everybody about my friend John, I don't just say my friend John. I'm like, yeah, my good friend John Granado.
He's trying to name drop is what he's doing.
Yeah, it's true.
That's not name dropping, Trey. You ain't getting nowhere with that.
I don't know. It's got me into a lot of good golf courses.
Trey. How are you hitting them right now?
Not good.
No.
Well, my par was 420 when I was on the Wildcat when I was golfing with you guys.
Well, so you're just so wrapped up in that NASCAR thing. You got to
get out on
Sundays.
Yeah, I got well.
When are your races? Don't you have the truck series on Saturday?
I got to watch all of them.
I know, right?
All weekend is truck stuff.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Truck stuff
no,
is
it's
Friday
not truck stuff
or
all
Saturday?
Weekend.
When is truck stuff?
Racing stuff is all weekend.
Truck stuff alternates. Sometimes it's Friday, sometimes it's Saturday. Sometimes
well, let's
it's
get
Sunday.
Something where we can depend on it.
Yeah,
that's
for
the
real.
Problem with racing.
It's all.
No,
it's
the
so
problem
fluid.
With racing is.
It's just, racing.
You just drive around in circles, Trey. Why do you love that so much?
I don't know, because I don't know.
You can't explain it.
Do you have
right?
a need for speed, Trey?
Oh, no.
And when I was a kid, there were two things I watched when I was a child.
Okay.
One of them was Thomas the Tank Engine.
And the other
was NASCAR. So that should give you a pretty good idea of which spectrum I represent.
Is Cole Trickle your favorite fictional character?
No.
Fictional. Well, who would it be?
Who's Jean Pierre?
Oh, in Ricky
Jean,
Bobby.
Jean Girard.
Oh, okay.
That dude's funny.
Yeah,
he was. Thinks Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ricky Bobby. I'm fainting from all the. Remember what he fainted from?
Yeah. I can't say it.
No, we can't say it, Trey. Don't say it, Trey. You get fired again.
He never got fired.
Oh, you've never been fired, right?
You're that confusing him with me.
I'm sorry, that was Dell.
I'm seeing my minutes decrease.
He is.
DNP? You're getting a DNP?
He's locked
Coach's
in on this
decision?
Stuff.
My minutes have been decreased.
You're a DNP?
You got a whole week.
Toss
yeah,
decision?
That's true. Yeah.
What are you talking about, minutes decrease? You got a whole week this week.
Well, next week, after this week, my minutes will be decreased.
Well.
Wow.
I'll be the seventh man.
You hope.
You hope.
Hopefully.
927 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Some big paydays that we haven't talked about in the NFL. Let's get it on the other side.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back. 931 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The number to call. We're going to get this Centre, the French version of George Springer's home run. Eighth inning homer to put the Blue Jays ahead. Yeah, Dez has been to. Yeah, George Springer's still hitting well. I don't know if you guys say. Yeah, well, George Springer missed most of the season, Dez. Okay? We don't want George Springer playing his, 30 games this year. That's not what we're looking for. We got Carlos Correa, who's reliable. He's there every game.
Yeah, this year at least, when he's not sick. The Yankees, have been the team people talk about because of their trade deadline acquisitions have been being hot, and that with that being hot. But the Blue Jays been 8-2 in their last 10, too. George home run helped them beat the Red Sox yesterday. And now the Blue Jays are only, three games back of a wild card spot? So they're not going anywhere either.
And the wild card is getting closer to the Astros, just two games out now. The Athletics behind the Astros, which is bad news after 4-6 and 8-2 runs here over the last 10 for these two teams. The Astros just got to play better baseball. Goodness gracious, against the Minnesota Twins. We didn't talk about Josh Allen. Josh Allen got himself an extension that is spectacular. A $258 million extension, $150 million guaranteed. That is pretty damn good. Josh Allen, will they at any point regret that contract? After basically he's had two good seasons, but one really good season, and giving him that kind of money.
It makes me think of Carson Wentz and the one near MVP year, if not for the injury. And that kind of – sure, Carson Wentz was never as bad as he was last year previously for the Eagles, but that year and the belief in his promise was why he got his money. And it's one year of being an elite quarterback for Josh Allen. Now, at some point, you're going to have to pay your quarterback, but did you have to do it after just his third year? Like Lamar Jackson has Lamar Jackson been, were they in the same draft class? Because Lamar Jackson is still waiting on his, and I know there was some talk about that this offseason, but the Ravens told everyone, calm down, he's going to get his money. And I think Lamar's in that same frame. After 3 years, Lamar's still waiting on his. I'm not sure when it'll occur. And he's been a better player over the span of their short careers. I did think it was odd, not odd, but interesting that they would give it to him after one great year. He was okay the year before. They made the playoffs, but we saw some of his limitations here in town when they were trying to either hold the lead or extend it against the Texans when the Texans came back and won. He was a different player last year. I'm not going to attribute it all to Stephon Diggs. It's great to have a number one, but some of that is about Josh Allen getting better. I may have maybe waited a little bit. Because what is Josh Allen? There's no danger like in the NBA where Josh Allen wouldn't be a Bill. You have control of him for years after. I just might have, prove it again.
Baker Mayfield said, I like it. Very
I'm
nice.
Sure you do, Baker.
Yeah, Baker, when asked afterwards, what did you think of Josh's contract? I love it. It's awesome. Baker Mayfield 1, Sam Darnold 3, Josh Allen 7, and Lamar Jackson was 32. So, in order, what order would you like to have these guys in?
What's the list again? Lamar, Baker.
Baker, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Lamar.
Obviously, the playoffs mean so much, so Lamar gets clouded by lack of performance and the struggles in the playoffs. I would probably take Lamar, Josh.
Ooh, I'd go Josh.
I wouldn't only because Josh Allen, I need to see it a second.
A much more accurate thrower. A much better thrower of the football.
For a season. He hasn't been a good thrower of the football until last year. So I need to see it again. Now, generally, quarterbacks don't digress to a point where you're like, ooh, what happened to him, unless you're Carson Wentz. But, like, the year before, he was under 60%, and then he gets to 69.2. That's a giant jump. So maybe that's just who he is from now on, and if you're a Bills fan, you hope so. And maybe he is. I'd just like to see it for one more year. And now, if you're the Ravens, you'd have to hope Lamar has this type of, at least particularly with his throws downfield, gets that type of accuracy. I will still take Lamar 1, Josh 2, Baker, and then Darnold.
I'm much more pleased with the trend that I'm seeing in Josh Allen than the trend I'm seeing with Lamar.
Maybe it's a Greg Roman thing. Because Lamar 66% in year 2, 64%, so not a giant drop-off. He just wasn't an MVP caliber player like he was in 19. I know Lamar Jackson, unless this trend is like a thing or he's not even going to be at the numbers of 2020 and 2021. I know Lamar Jackson over a 2-year span is a really good player. I've seen Josh Allen be a really good player 1 year. If I see it again, then all of the things that people are saying about him currently and the money he's been given will confirm it, and I'll have nothing to say about Josh Allen other than that's a really good player. Give me one more year. That's all. And that's really where I stand, where he is right now.
Yeah, I just don't like to. I just think that if I've got to win a football game, I'm going to trust Josh Allen's arm much more than I'm going to trust Lamar Jackson's arm. And both can run the football. Both are pretty damn good. And I saw a tough guy in Josh Allen as well. I'm going to bet on that future. And if I was the Bills, I would give him that money. Now, if you're the Browns, are you giving Baker that money?
No. No, I'm not. Baker is dependent on a running game. And when the Browns got to run the football and letting Baker play off of it, that's when they took a leap. Baker has been the guy for half a year where people were talking about him as the next good young quarterback. And then we saw a full season of depending on Baker and how that turned out. And then they got back. Then they got to run the ball with Chubb and I always forget his name. Kansas City Chiefs former running
Kareem
back.
Hunt.
Kareem Hunt. When they got to giving those guys the football and not being dependent on Baker, then we saw the Browns become a really good football team and what, make the AFC title game? Mm-hmm. Or was that the Bills?
Yeah.
Was it the Browns or the Bills? I think the Chiefs beat the Browns in divisional round. I think the Bills played the Chiefs in the AFC title game.
Yes.
But they went into Pittsburgh and won handily after the Steelers turned the ball over so many times. So run the football, and if that's the case, I think Chubb and that offensive line are much more important. Kareem Hunt, Chubb, and that offensive line. And then now you have Odell coming back, so you know there's going to be a more emphasis on throwing the football because you can't have him on the roster and the money he's making and not throw the ball more. I don't know if that's a good thing for the Browns.
Yeah. No. I mean, but here's the deal is they have a better running game than the Bills do. And listen, Lamar has to depend on a running game as well, including his own running game. But so does Josh Allen. He has got to run the football again like he did last year. It definitely helps the offense. But he certainly doesn't have the running game that the Browns have. So if you have the running game that the Browns have, aren't you going to – I know, you know.
Why do I have to pay Baker that if I have the running game the Browns have?
Well, because you still have to have the quarterback. I don't have to pay him $258 million. And what's interesting is that Josh Allen actually took $43 million per year as opposed to what he took $2 million less a year than Pat Mahomes did, as opposed to normally when a guy is up, he's going to be the highest paid guy. He's got more guaranteed money in $150 million than $141 million for Pat Mahomes, but he also has less per year which both guys are going to play out their contract. Neither team is going to cut those guys. So they're going to get that money, even though he gets a little bit more guaranteed money. He's going to see all that money. So he is going to make a little bit less. And that he admits, hey, I haven't been as good as Pat Mahomes, so I don't deserve to be paid more than Pat Mahomes does, even though that seems to be the trend. No matter who's up next, you get paid more. I think it was that's a really good contract. I think it's going to be a good contract for both the Bills and for Josh Allen. But I don't think Baker gets anywhere near that. No, I don't think he gets anywhere near that. If he gets on the average of about $35 million a year, if I was him, just take it. Just do that, Baker.
If I'm the Browns, I'm saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers, do you like Cleveland? I'm not locking it with Baker Mayfield. If the opportunity arises where Aaron Rodgers after this season is like, you know what, thanks for all the concessions, I still don't want to be here, I'm making a call. I'm not locking in with Baker unless he becomes the player that everyone thought he could be after he got drafted. Why would I want to give this what appears to be a game manager that type of money?
No, he's not getting anywhere close to that.
No, I'm not even talking about Josh Allen money. I'm just not locking in with him. If I think, look, I know it's difficult to find a guy, but we've seen, is Baker any better than Kirk Cousins?
Well, that'll be interesting to see if they franchise him. They continue to not be able to come to terms or not want to lock in on him like Dak, like Cousins, if that's the way that they're going to go about it. Now, that was the number one overall pick, so that's a big difference as opposed to the fourth rounder and third rounder
sure,
that we're
but
talking about.
The fourth and third rounder, at least in Kirk Cousins, I mean, he had some pelts on the wall.
Cousins was the
fourth round, and Dak was the third.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand, but who are the better players?
Yeah, we'll see. Can you win with any of those guys? That's a question.
We're going to have to find out.
None of them have won big yet.
Baker will tell you that, hey,
we'll see.
We won a playoff game with me. Dak doesn't have that. Now, Dak did win a division title, but he doesn't have a playoff win like Baker does, but I mean, I'm not sure about any of them. I just wouldn't be comfortable tying my future to someone who appears to be maybe not a can win, is a can win with quarterback, but not a can win because of quarterback right now, yep. Baker.
ESPN has come out with its percentages of a bunch of different stuff, including Super Bowl favorites, odds to win divisions, who will have the number one overall pick. Guess where your Texans figure into that equation? We will do that next right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about Lafayette, Louisiana. We were just talking about Lafayette is going to the Little League World Series, right? Isn't that,
well, they
or,
are
the, they're advancing they, from the Southwest?
They're the team benefiting from Needville's forfeiture.
See
there
that?
You go.
Well, and don't hold it against them. It's not their fault. It's Little League's fault, okay? And here's the deal, is go there and enjoy. They're not going to be playing any home games, but you know that city's going to be awfully excited about that Little League team. But here's the deal, is you can be excited about Lafayette because the food is second to none. You go to Prejean's or you go to Randall's or any of the great little restaurants, there are a ton of them. It's been called the South's best eaten city. Because the food is just spectacular. It really is. Cajun cuisine is second to none in my mind. And if you're looking for that great cuisine, you're looking for that, it's just so good. No matter where you go, I'm telling you, you're going to find a great place. And right now, Eat Lafayette is something I got going on with this summer. And the summer is winding down. So take a trip one weekend or during the week if you can. You stay in Lafayette, the average hotel price is about $85. You get great food. You get great music 7 days a week. You've always got music playing. You've got a great time. Just three and a half hours down the road. It doesn't cost anything. That's a nice little trip that's going to be very inexpensive and wonderful. Go to LafayetteTravel.com. That's LafayetteTravel.com.
ESPN 97.5.
This
is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
La Valeria avec force au champ gauche. On la regarde aller. Et elle est pétée!
Springer! Oh! Qui l'a frappé? Enfin, on danse à Toronto. Adversité canadienne est en peur. Et à Boston, qu'est-ce que tu fais là, Cora?
Frenchies. I don't know. I'm just. What, you love that, Trey?
He loves it, apparently. We're hearing it again.
Well, because you never have any excitement in your NASCAR races. There's no, you don't have nothing like that.
But, you know, French, like the French language is just, it's cool, you know? Eh. Like, Ginapel, George Springer, you know?
Yeah, he sounded American when he was saying George Springer.
He did. He sounded Canadian more than anything.
Yeah, like, hey there. Yeah, George Springer, yeah.
Yeah, how about that Springery?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, poser. I wouldn't think that they would have a French language broadcast, only because I thought there was some rivalry between the French language
speaking
Canadians and the English speaking ones. I know they have a rivalry in their sports teams, Toronto and Montreal. Now, there is no baseball team in Montreal.
Isn't Montreal more French than...
That's what I'm saying. Why is Toronto having the French language...
I think there's a pretty big French population in Toronto.
Well, yeah. And, well, I mean, we do Spanish broadcasts of all of our teams.
Yeah,
but
Del.
But there's no rivalry between us and the...
and El Tri?
Yeah, different. There's a big rivalry, Del. That's it's like the biggest rivalry in soccer.
But do we... Well, no, it's not. But
it's the greatest country rivalry in the world.
Yeah.
In the North American region, sure. But there isn't some battle.
Argentina and Brazil?
I said North America.
Oh.
But there isn't. I'm not buying in the tray what he said about the biggest rivalry.
It's the biggest rivalry in the
all
world.
The sports.
Understood that there are French-speaking people from Toronto, but I was just surprised that they would that there is a French language station doing Toronto
and
Blue Jays.
Not me. I'm not surprised. But I'm just disgusted with them.
Why are you disgusted? Because it's French.
Because it's French. Well. Oh, nobody likes the French.
That's a John Granato. That's the views and opinions of John Granato do not express the views of opinions of Del or Trey. He said that, not us.
I mean, people like the French.
No one does.
What about Rudy Gobert?
French don't even like the French.
No one likes Rudy Gobert. No. That's actually true.
What about Tony Parker?
No.
What about Victoria Legrand?
That's one of your favorites. No one knows. That's Big Toe for John. She's a singer from what, Beach House, is it?
Yep.
Yeah. Victoria Legrand.
Is she French or is that?
Yeah, she's French.
Is she?
He loves
her. No one
her.
Likes her.
It's his favorite because she sings.
She sings because she sings?
And she's, I guess, attractive. I don't know what she looks like, actually. She's a French musician that he loves.
Huh. Hey, here's big news. Deshaun Watson is back at practice in his pads.
Is he going to work out and play and take snaps?
So. He's talking to Nick Caserio. That's all. There's a picture of him and Nick Caserio talking. That's all. Deshaun is back.
We going to get
number four is to play safety, but he's limping around pretty badly there with the ankle and calf thing.
Are we going to get a reason why he was out for a week?
No one's getting that reason.
So one of your players makes
it's just a day-to-day thing.
So he, after a week of day-to-day, he's back and ready to go.
Yeah, we're just making a decision, that's all.
Okay. Glad to have him back.
Yeah. But then he's walking off the field. I don't know. He's just watching. Nick Caserio called him over. Hey, let's talk. Don't do anything. Just sit around.
Yeah, he's watching as other quarterbacks go through drills. Yeah. Aaron Wilson tweets, this is about 24 minutes ago, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson watches as the other quarterbacks run drills. This is the same way practice was conducted with him before he missed last week with calf and ankle tightness. He doesn't have like a compression thing on his calf or like extra tape on his ankle. So do you think he was really injured?
No one, you don't know. He's got socks that might be hiding that extra tape.
I'm asking, do you think he was injured? He doesn't look, he's just strolling around. I mean, not very active, but he doesn't look like a guy who was hurt.
He looks like he's limping around to me.
No, that's just him slowly walking, meandering, doing nothing. That's not a limp. He's just doing nothing.
Pretty much. That's pretty much just a limp. Yep. yep, yep. I agree. So our Houston Texans are in NFL odds. So, okay, what are the odds? What is the best Super Bowl matchup? The odds of the best Super Bowl matchup?
For the Texans?
No. What is the most likely Super Bowl matchup
this year? Is it a repeat?
Repeat. Chiefs and Bucks.
Bucks.
Second is Bills and Bucks. Third is Chiefs and Packers. Fourth is Chiefs and 49ers. Then Ravens, Bucks, Chiefs, Rams, Chiefs, Seahawks. I don't see the Texans mentioned anywhere in here. That's a problem I'm having. The difference between Aaron Rodgers, Packers with and without him, is what? With and without him. Without him, they drop to a 6% shot. They're the fifth best team in football and have the fourth best chance to win it all at 6%. Without him, 0.2%. That is the biggest drop off.
So
it drops 70%.
Well, the drop off is from him to Jordan Love. How big is the Chiefs drop off?
Without Pat Mahomes? Well, but there was no chance that Pat Mahomes wouldn't be there.
That's right.
So they're not even doing that one.
Okay.
Right. No. If the Chiefs lost Pat Mahomes, I think that would probably
considering they're the favorite in the AFC.
That never was a possibility.
Yeah.
So the Browns and Ravens are both contenders, but actually they're hurting each other.
Because they play each
other. They play each other, same division. Now, wild cards can get in and can, but that division is certainly hurting their chances.
Are the Bills the second best favorite in the AFC?
The Bills are the second best favorite, right? Those Bills and then Ravens.
Or the second favorite.
Bills, Ravens, then Browns. Looks like what is the toughest division? NFC West. They've got three of the top 10 teams in the Rams, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. And the 21st ranked Cardinals aren't an easy out either. Chance to reach the playoffs, 49ers have the best shot, but it's just 68%, Rams 64%, and the Seahawks 63%.
I'm asking you to remember, but do you know where the 49ers are ranked as far as most talented under 25? Did they have talented at all? Do you remember where they were ranked?
The 49ers, I believe, if I remember correctly, were up there.
Okay. You know, I have my reservations about them.
They're sixth.
Okay, sixth most talented.
Trey Lance, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Javon Kinlaw, and Brandon Ayuk.
Okay. That's
pretty good.
But we don't expect one of the main guys to play.
Trey Lance. I don't know. You know what? I'm seeing more and more with the way that he's playing that Trey Lance is a possibility to be playing this year. Jimmy better play well to start the season. Otherwise, you're going to see, because the ceiling is the roof for Trey Lance, as opposed to
so we have a
Jimmy.
So we have a situation where there's a possibility that the named starter doesn't finish a year as a starter, and they're still Super Bowl favorites.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't see how that makes any sense. If it's a possibility where, so the guy who's considered the most, let's say, raw of all the quarterbacks drafted that high because of his lack of starts in college could possibly replace the starter that people are using as a reason for the 49ers to make it to Super Bowl, and they're still
I don't know what goes into it. They may think that Jimmy Garoppolo, in these odds, Jimmy Garoppolo will be their starter all year. I don't know. Those are two different stories. One has Trey Lance as a blue chip prospect, a blue chip under 25 player.
Yeah, but you were
but
talking
these
about
these odds say that you know have nothing to do with that.
Well, maybe your thought isn't the prevailing thought about Trey Lance possibly taking over for Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't think those two mesh. That the rookie quarterback who most people think needs time can take that job. And Jimmy Garoppolo is still a potential Super Bowl leading quarterback.
Well, this says if we made Lance the starter or partial starter, it would hurt the 49ers' projection because of the model assumes Lance is a little worse than Garoppolo as of now. If Lance does beat out Garoppolo, that would be a sign he is comparable to the veteran, and thus a downgrade might not make sense. Therefore, designating Garoppolo as the starter seemed the safer choice.
Okay.
That's what they said about that.
All right.
Cowboys lead the weakest division in football as far as – and then there's – can the Colts weather the storm without Carson Wentz?
And I don't know how long
I would
that's...
say the answer is no.
So he – projection was 5 to 12 weeks. He was injured last week. So is there – there's a real possibility he doesn't miss a game, right? If it's only
well,
5
weeks?
Well,
he just last week had the surgery.
Correct.
So it starts from there.
So last
which
week he had
will
surgery.
Miss.
Last week was August – let's say August 2nd, whenever he had the surgery. When's the first game?
September 9th, 10th.
So that's about 5 weeks. So if it's 5 weeks, there's a chance. The question is, how long is the storm going to be? If it's such a broad range, if it's 5 weeks, there's a chance he may not miss a game if it's right there.
If it's right there and he can come back and be ready and get ready right away.
Well, that's the question. What's this 5 weeks entail before he can do any work or before he could possibly be back doing football stuff? It's probably – you're probably going to see him if, at best, you're probably going to see him week two, week three. So the storm wouldn't be that great of a – I know you're hoping he's out longer because you're projecting 4-2 for the Texans.
So the first 5 weeks, their schedule, they host the Seahawks and Rams, and then they are on the road to the Titans, Dolphins, and Ravens. The Colts, even with Wentz – without Wentz could win 2.2% of the or 2.2 of those games, and the start and the chance that they start 0-5 is just over 1-20. So they feel like they can still win without Carson Wentz. I don't.
We're gonna find out what Jake. Now it's only preseason. We're gonna find out what Jacob Eason looks like. He's gonna get every opportunity.
And we've seen this before. What if Jacob Eason plays his ass off?
Well, this is a man who lost his job in college because he got hurt. Remember, second year, he got hurt early. I think he turned an ankle or something against some FCS or whatever. I don't remember the school. Jake Fromm steps in. He never gets his job back. He has to transfer to Washington. He has the opportunity to benefit from this, and we'll see if he can take it. Jake Eason, the big arm, more talented than Jake Fromm. There's some questions about his, let's just say, his want to be just a quarterback and not maybe the star of Athens. You can delve into that, what that might mean. Like the party. Who knows? Allegedly. So he transferred. And
a bad thing. He always talks about partying
depends,
is a bad thing.
Depends on the type Trey? Of partying.
Trey. I don't party, so
you,
I could.
Yeah. Oh, you don't?
Not really.
No, yeah, you
but
do.
But I heard
I've
about
seen
Jacob,
you in happy hour.
Didn't Jacob Eason have some sort of controversial tweet? Or he liked to tweet that was controversial.
That was Jake Fromm.
Okay.
That was about the elites having
my
guns.
My bad. I got him mixed up. Yeah. The Georgia quarterbacks.
He didn't think you should have a gun.
No, he's one
just
of the
elites.
No, he's the elite white.
You're an elite white, Trey?
No. No. Not even. I'm like, I'm on the, I guess you could say I'm on the Carson Wentz tier of elite whites.
You need a bounce back
red
here?
Hair?
Yeah.
Oh, red
I
hair.
I was trying to think of a media. I'm on the Nick Foles
okay.
spectrum of.
Well, and there's another question. They're being asked a
they
lot.
They can't do that.
Do they bring they Nick Foles
they
in?
They can't. He can't,
do
right?
Why would he be there
Nick
for like
Foles?
4 weeks?
If he bring. Look, Carson Wentz already apparently had confidence issues in Philly. He can't bring in
he
Nick
can't
Foles.
Bring Nick Foles in.
The guy took a Super Bowl no. when he got hurt. He can't.
Would you rather have Nick Foles or Jacob Eason?
If you were telling me I could, Nick Foles is only going to play for about 3 or 4 weeks, so I didn't have to have the extended Nick Foles experience, I'd rather have Nick Foles.
Yeah, absolutely. So, especially to weather the storm till Carson Wentz gets back, but you can't do that to Carson Wentz again.
Not again, no.
No way. 1002 ESPN 975-730-3776.
ESPN 975.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.